So the book is called Instant Motivation. And joining us is the best-selling author, Chantelle Burns. Hello, welcome to the studio.
Hi, thank you.
So what gave you the idea for this book?
Well, about 2 and a bit years ago, I was really curious about working with organisations and leaders, and I was very curious about why some people changed easily and others didn't, or why some people seemed really engaged and motivated and other people in the same situation weren't. I was just curious about the real inconsistencies that I was seeing in performance and in people's personal lives as well.
When you say changed easily, changed what?
So changed their behaviours or changed their mind. So some people will change their mind really easily.
We've just been talking about use of language. We'll say behaviour, not behaviours, I think, on this programme, if that's okay. All right with you. As it's Easter Monday, humour me.
All right.
Change their behaviour, singular.
No is. Okay,
no is and only one behaviour. So why were you in a position to be observing people doing this? What was it that you were doing in industry that led you to see this?
Well, I've worked in business for a long time, and also I've spent the last 16 years going into organisations, working with leaders, working with teams to help them improve their performance. Mm. And so looking at all the different areas where I was interested in what was underneath the surface. And I think what tends to happen is that we focus a lot on behaviour and we don't look enough at what's going on behind the surface or under the surface. And I've always been interested in how people think. And I knew that that was kind of the root cause of a lot of the issues that I was seeing. So I suppose
some people listening might think, well, you know, some people change more quickly and more easily than others. Some people adapt more easily. Some people are more positive than others just because they're different from the other people. They are, you know, people are individuals. Some people are enthusiastic naturally. Some are a bit more pessimistic. Some have just gone through a divorce. Some are tired and old. Some are ill. Some are, you know, there are reasons why people do things in different ways. And that's just because people are different from one another. But you were looking at something deeper than that and something more general than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with all of those things, and that's what I was seeing. So 2.5 years ago, I had the thought about doing some research so that I could shine a light on some of these questions, mm-hmm. some of these inconsistencies. So I interviewed a lot of leaders and a lot of staff also got involved with the research. And I asked lots of questions about performance, about what constitutes or what causes a good day or a bad day, or asked them questions about stress in terms of what they felt was the cause of their stress or anxiety, or how often did they feel stressed at work. Mm-hmm. Lots of different questions like that. So I could start to unearth what I think is just a consistent and constant theme that's behind all of that, like you said, a deeper truth, mm-hmm. actually, that's behind all of that. And you're right, we see all these differences because we are all different, mm-hmm. but we're different because we think differently, mm-hmm. it always comes back to how we're thinking, mm-hmm. But yet what we tend to focus on is the sort of the external circumstances and situations. We think they're the cause, really, and they're not.
I mean, some people will say, well, you know, I'm so busy at work, I rush in, I do my job, I go home, I just about have a chance to go to sleep, I come back, I do it again, you know, I'm busy doing my job, my boss is busy doing his or her job, we're all very, very busy, there isn't really a chance for anyone to look deeply into what it is that's ailing me or worrying me or concerning me. I just have to get on with it. Everyone has to get on with it. That's what being a grown-up is these days, you know. So I don't know what Chantelle's actually going on about here. What is she hoping that people will winkle out about my deep inner recesses of my psyche? You know, some days I'm miserable, some days I'm happy. It all depends on what's just gone on in my private life, usually, or my finances, or indeed whether I'm being promoted, or whether my boss likes me or doesn't like me, or whether I've had to move my desk and now I'm sitting right by the photocopier, or whatever it is. You know, those are the reasons, but no one cares because I've just got to get on with it. And that's the real world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where the answer is. Because we think it's all of those different things that are going on around us, and we often feel kind of powerless and at effect of those things, it makes it very difficult. And that puts a lot on our minds. It keeps us very busy minded, which creates more of the stress and anxiety that we want to try and get rid of. Mm. So the answer is to understand that actually the relationship, that's the thing that's causing the experience that we're having, is not those situations and circumstances. It's just the way that we're thinking about those things in that given moment that gives rise to a particular feeling that we call anxiety or stress. Understanding that relationship is crucial.
So do you think we don't understand that?
Absolutely. I know we don't understand that. I see that every day with clients, with colleagues, with family, and it's certainly been very starkly illustrated by my research.
Right. So give an example of the way in which we tend to do things or feel things, and the way in which we could change that pattern by, I assume, reading your book, Instant Motivation, and having a rethink about the way we behave.
Well, if I go back to the research, one of the questions I asked was, what's the cause of, or the biggest cause of, you're feeling stressed or anxious at work. And you probably won't be surprised that the kinds of things that were on the list were workload and deadlines and time pressures.
Yes.
But what was really interesting to me and what really showed just how important this understanding in this book is that at the bottom of the list was my own thinking, my own mindset. So what's happening is that the truth that our thinking is really governing how we feel is very, very under-recognised or completely unrecognised by most people.
Right.
So what I try to show people is that the stress is a feeling in the system. It shows up in different ways. Some people have a little panic attack. Some people feel hot and sweaty. Some people get a rash on their neck. Mm. There might be physical symptoms.
Yeah.
But whatever that is, that's coming and created by our thinking in the moment. When I help people to see that truth, it's comforting, and also it's very empowering, because to realize that your boss or your deadlines can't directly make you feel anything is very, very helpful to see that that's not the case. Because if it was the case, a whole team would feel the same amount of anxiety or stress about the same workload, but they don't. One person's stress is another person's invigorated experience.
Right. So some people find it interesting. Some will find it a big surge of adrenaline and exciting. Some people say, oh, I love working to a deadline. I love working on the edge. I love it. You know, when Ofsted come to my school, I welcome them. I say, come in, look at my class, look what I've done. Other people are like, oh my God, Ofsted are coming in 6 months. I'm absolutely panic stricken. Yeah. I don't know what to do, or whatever, just taking that as an example at random.
Yeah.
And so you're saying the way you think about it defines it rather than the experience itself.
Absolutely. It's never the experience that is the problem. And I'm not saying there aren't really difficult situations and circumstances that people are dealing with. In the book, I talk about, I went out to Japan just after the tsunami, and I was faced with people that were dealing with extraordinarily difficult circumstances. They had been working in the disaster areas. So I wasn't saying, look, this is just in your thinking.
No.
This stuff is happening.
It was terrible, yeah.
It was terrible. Mm. But what I'm saying is our capacity to deal with these situations with clarity and perspective comes from understanding the nature of thought and how thought works and the role that thought is playing in our entire experience.
So what if you come from the sort of family, for example, where your parents were always saying, oh dear, don't try and do that, you know, you'll never get a job there, that's going to be too hard, don't aim for that university or university at all, that's going to be expensive and hard, blimey, you think you want to buy a property, God, you'll never do that now because that's much too hard. And you come from the kind of family which is very risk averse, nervous, full of trepidation about things, and that's the way you think about things. So your boss says, oh, I'm going to put you on this new project, or I'm going to give you a chance to do this, and you, instead of thinking, oh, that's an opportunity, that's exciting, you think, oh God, God, no, I don't know how to do it. I'll probably be rubbish. You know, I'll get fired. Oh, no. Well, let's say that's the way you've been brought up. You know, that's been the sort of formative constituent of your personality. And that's the way your parents would react and your whole family would react. And they're all like, just keep your head down. Don't get into trouble. Just keep, you know, try and keep on an even keel. And you're suddenly given this chance to shine. And you think, oh, no. I mean, how can you, with a book, rectify, if indeed it's rectifying, the sort of conditioning of a whole lifetime? How do you change the way people think about things?
That's such a brilliant point. And I actually share a story about that in my own life, because for a long time, my mum was a single parent and she was quite risk averse. She had lots of beliefs and ideas about independence and about money. Mm. And I took those on. And I remember it wasn't...
For example?
Well, you know, you need to be independent. You can't rely on anyone else. You can't trust anyone else. You can only rely on yourself. You know, just lots of different things. And they made sense at the time.
Sort of mantras,
because,
really, handed down to you.
Because they'd looked at those beliefs had helped her
right.
in her life. And
right.
she wanted to protect and help me. So
yes.
it's coming from a place of love. And it normally is, you know, when we learn these things. It wasn't until my 30s that I realised and I really saw that I was carrying a lot of those conditioned beliefs from my family. And at that point, I was able to make a choice about whether they were still relevant to me.
Because some people, of course, would say they were excellent. What great advice. Only rely on yourself, be independent, don't trust other people, that kind of thing. Some people say, well, you know, Chantelle was given such great advice by her mother. The last thing she needed to do was rethink it and approach it in a different way. But did you find that it was confining you?
Yes, in some ways it was constraining. But the point is, it's not whether it's a useful belief or a useful bit of advice or not. It's understanding the nature of conditioning. It's understanding that stuff is always up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm trying to help people to see, is that they have way more freedom in their mental life than they realise they do. And of course, like I said, the important part about the relationship between our thoughts and our feelings, mm-hmm. because most people understand those to be two separate things, and they're not two separate things. We have to unite them and understand that thought and feeling are basically expressions of the same thing.
Right, so you're feeling, oh my gosh, this is too much for me. But what you really need to do, read the book, obviously, step back and think, well, actually, you know, what could happen if I went wrong with this? What could happen if I went right with this? How likely am I to do well at this? Actually, I'm quite likely to. I do have the experience, and really, that's the way to approach it, is it, would you say?
Yeah, well, it's understanding that, yeah, we have a deeper resource of intelligence. Every human being does. We're innately wise, and we have all the intelligence we need. And it's our thinking undoes that. We obscure our own intelligence and our own wisdom and common sense with our in-the-moment insecurities. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm going to feel insecure sometimes. It doesn't matter how experienced I am at what I do. There are moments when I'll start to feel those butterflies in my stomach. Mm. But it's really helpful for me to understand that those butterflies aren't coming from the situation. They're just coming from some temporary sort of energy passing through the system that we call thought.
Although it is true, isn't it, that other people's reaction to us at work in particular, and also at home obviously, makes a huge difference. So for example, if we're up against a deadline or something's very difficult, or we're taking on a new responsibility, and our immediate boss or our line manager or a colleague or somebody notices and says, you're doing a fabulous job with that, you know, what you did last week was so good and we really liked your blah blah blah, that was terrific, and that's why we're asking you to do this, because we know, we have every confidence that you're going to do it just as well as you did the other thing. You start to feel, I mean, you stand 10 feet taller, you feel great about yourself, and you think, well, they're putting their trust in me, but I deserve it because I've earned it, so I'm sure I'll be fine. Or at least you have a big feeling of confidence. Whereas if you're at work and no one ever says you're any good, and yet you feel as if you're having more and more pressure heaped on your head, then it's easy to feel engulfed in it, because no one's ever said, well, we're only giving you this because we know you can do it, because we think you're great, or you know, you're extremely promising, or you've shown a great aptitude, or some damn thing that makes you feel acknowledged and valued. I mean, that's a huge thing as well, isn't it? I mean, correcting your own thinking is one thing, but working in an environment where nobody seems particularly sympathetic or appreciative is also very difficult, isn't it?
Absolutely. There are definitely work environments where understanding the importance of recognition and those kinds of things are important to a person's motivation. But the interesting thing is that same comment from a boss to a worker could be responded to very differently. A worker might hear that and think, oh, they're just trying to butter me up.
Right.
They could hear exactly the same thing and respond to it differently because of how they're thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
And that's really what I'm pointing to, is the kind of the underlying truth and the consistent common truth underneath all of that.
So reading the book will give people a chance to pause for thought a little bit, to think about how they're responding and possibly recalibrate their responses, you think, if it works well for people?
Absolutely. They only have to see one little bit of truth about how their experience really works. And it can sort out a lot of the issues that we think
are
existing.
Very interesting idea, and it's obviously doing incredibly well because it was W.H. Smith's Nonfiction Book of the Month. It's been a bestseller, number one bestseller on Amazon in the business, finance and law category. Well, you've done amazingly well, whatever anybody said. You've done brilliantly well. Maybe your mother's advice was good. You listened. It wasn't such a bad thing. The book is called Instant Motivation. It's by my guest, Chantelle Burns. She will tell us who it's published by and how much it costs.
Yeah, it's published by Pearson, and it's, I think retail price is $12.99, but I'm pretty sure it's not $12.99 on Amazon at the moment.
Cheap on Amazon. It's been great to see you. Thank you very much indeed
for
coming
so
in. Straight after the news headlines, Marcel.